right. That's a little, I love our puppet ministry. I appreciate Brother Robles, of course, working very hard in our puppet ministry, though he's not the one that runs all the puppets. He is a man of many voices. But anyways, he and Brother Blaine have done a great job with that. And I just wanted to give you a little taste of who we are. Every Sunday morning, if you come, Sunday school, Sunday morning, we'll have a little opening with our puppets, and then downstairs we'll use the puppets in our junior church and so forth, and it's just tremendous. All right, take your songbook once again and turn to hymn number, and I didn't write a number on it. 109, thank you, Brother Rick. Boy, he was looking at that, 109. 109. We'll remain seated on this song, and we'll sing the first and last verse of Great is Thy Faithfulness. Preaching and stuff. Could I have a couple fellows just come up, and just two, three of you fellows just come up, and we'll move the puppet stage out of the way. The puppets are in there too, but you can just move them out back if you'd like for now, and that'd be great. Appreciate our teenagers as they're picking up. I just want to just commend them. The teens that you see around here, boy, most all of them, they're involved. They're here. They go to youth group. Many serve on a bus route. Many, several are out soul winning on Saturday as well as the Tuesday before youth group. And every so often we'll have a teen choir special and they'll sing. And I just really appreciate our teenagers. And they're the next generation. And we need to be so busy and so focused, parents, and all of us that are leaders. That means you, parent. That means me, preacher, deacons, and other leaders. We need to be busy being consistent in our own lives as far as our walk with God, that our young people that are watching us are excited about the things of the Lord as well. We need to be excited about God, and we need to be consistent with our walk with God. I know that in this day and age, it's hard. It's hard to be faithful. It's hard to get up and get to your Bible, and it can be very, very difficult, but we need to be very consistent in our walk with God so that the younger generation sees that we're excited about the things of God so they too may be as well. And I appreciate our young people. I mean, I'm talking about from this row right up front all the way up. I look forward to the day of seeing these young people sit where the teenagers, so to speak, are sitting as far as their life and different things. And so much is done here in the church for the young people. And I just think it's awesome to see that we have a group of young people, from the children to the teenagers, that are excited about serving God. And tonight you're going to see many of our young people, going to see some sing, and you're going to see some preaching. And this is the next generation. And I hope that church family, moms and dads, as you see maybe your son get up and preach, boy, that's kind of a proud feeling. It really is. Not a bad proud at all. And boy, we ought to be praying, church, for these young people as you hear them and as they bear their heart to you. And believe me, I know how these young men will feel. I've been there. I've done that. I remember when I was a young man called to preach, my preacher says, he sat over here on the platform he had at his church, and he called me up to the platform just before the Sunday evening service, and he says, "Sean, you're called to preach, right?" I said, "Yes." He says, "Next Sunday night, you're going to be preaching." I go, I was 16 years old. But you know, the truth of the matter is that was probably one of the greatest things he did for me, because it really broke the ice as far as where I am today. And believe me, if you only knew some of the butterflies I still feel, even today, and how we need to be relying upon the Lord. But I appreciate the preachers that I had as a young man that when they saw Sean Weeks called to preach, boy, they did everything they could to encourage me and to help me keep going. But anyways, I'm looking forward to this evening. I hope, church, that you'll enjoy it. And right now, Brittany is going to come up and sing a special, and then we're going to hear some of our young men preach.
Sometimes when life seems gentle and blessings flood my way, I turn my gaze away from you and soon forget to pray. But when the sky grows darker and courage turns to fear, my anxious voice cries upward with words you long to hear. Lord, I need you. When the sea of life is calm, O Lord, I need you. When the wind is blowing strong, whether trials come or cease, keep me always on my knees. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. Lord, help me to remember I'm weak, but you are strong. I cannot sing apart from you, for Lord, you are my song. Although I'm prone to wander and boast in all I do, Lord, keep my eyes turned upward so I depend on you. Lord, I need you. When the sea of life is calm, O Lord, I need you. When the wind is blowing strong, whether trials come or cease, keep me always on my knees. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you.
Amen. Right now we have our first preacher boy. Cody, would you come up and preach? Amen. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27. It says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall." Tonight, I'm going to preach about two people, and that's the wise man and the foolish man. The wise man was the one who heard the sayings, who went to church, who heard the preaching, who read the Bible, and went out sowing, and built his house or his life upon the rock, or he built his life upon the foundation of the Lord. When trials came into the wise man's life, he wasn't nervous. He knew that he was in a good foundation. He knew what to do because he built his rock or his life on the Lord. And then there's the foolish man. I bet he heard the preaching. I bet he went to church. He tried it. I bet he read the Bible and tried it. I bet he went soul-winning and he tried it, but he didn't do it. He didn't like it. And when he built his house upon the sand, it wasn't sturdy enough. It wasn't, sturdy enough to withstand the wind, the rain, and the flood and everything. So it fell. Tonight, I'm almost done. Where's your life built? Is your life built on the rock of Jesus Christ? Or is your life built on the sand? Is your life built in the world? Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Good. Very good.
Andrew.
Hello. Please, if you will, turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. And when you're there, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
"Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses, laying aside every weight and sin which so doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." All right, let's pray. Dear Father, Lord God, I ask that you take me out of this, God, Lord. I ask that you use me, God, Lord. Lord, please speak through me, God. Take me out of this, Lord. I want no part in this, God. Lord, in your name, let this be done, God. In your name.
Amen. All right. The first point I wanted to make was we have a purpose here. It's a race. And the first thing, the general idea that I want to get across here is that this is an upcoming year and there's things to keep in mind. First is we're supposed to set apart the things that are keeping us down, things that we already were promised a victory over, like temptations, your sins that just keep you down. And the second point I want to make was we're not alone. God gave us a comforter, and he said that after he gave us the Great Commission is, "Lo, I am with thee always, even unto the end of the earth." And the third and final point was that we have a reward at the end of this. We aren't running a race just for no reason. There's a purpose behind this. I think it's Corinthians. I had this bookmarked. "For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward, but it goes against my will and disobedience of the thing of the gospel that is committed unto me." I was going to make a point with that. But we have a reward. Just don't give up. There's comfort behind it. there's always someone watching you, and those were the points.
Amen. Good job, Andrew. Amen. Good. Good. Thank you, Songbook, once again. We've got a little bit more of that coming. Good job, guys. Amen, amen, and amen. Church, you ought to be praying. These are the fellows that you have heard so far, and I believe all the fellows that we have preaching tonight, they've all been called to preach. And boy, you ought to be praying for them. You know, let me tell you something. The devil do everything he can to try to keep them from fulfilling a pulpit one day. And he doesn't want the pulpits filled. He doesn't want fire and brimstone preaching. He doesn't want the King James Bible preached, you know, and he's going to do everything he can to take these fellas and try to deter them from being what God wants them to be. So we need to be praying. We need to place a hedge of protection about them. We need to be praying for these young people and so forth. But take your hymnal once again, turn to hymn number 529. We will remain seated here. 529. We'll sing, why don't we sing the first and last verses of "There Shall Be Showers of Blessing." There shall be showers of blessing. This is a promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. But for the showers we plead, there shall be showers of blessing. Oh, that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing, now as on Jesus we call. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. Good singing. And right now, Sean, won't you come on up and sing? Dylan's going to switch. All right, very good. All right, you preach. And he'll switch. That's, you're not going to sing along with your sermon?
Maybe. We'll see. All righty. Turn in your Bibles to Psalms 16. Psalm 16. And I'll read before you get there. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you that we can all come here together in fellowship with you, and we thank you for the food you gave us tonight, Lord. That was a blessing from you, Lord, and thank you that we can have some good fellowship in preaching tonight, Lord, and I thank you for everything you've done, Lord, and now as I preach, Lord, I ask you, please help me, Lord. I can't do this at all by myself. In fact, I don't want to do this at all by myself. Lord, only you can do this through me, Lord, and please help the preaching after me, Lord, as well. And please bless my lips, Lord. And please help people to learn through me. In your name I pray, amen. I'm going to be preaching on tidings of comfort and joy tonight. God actually commands us to have joy. In the Philippians 4:4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So God wants us to have joy. Many people get into the rut of just existing. They just go through life and they don't really do anything. They just go to school, go to college, get married, have kids, and die. But there's much more to life than that. There's much, much more to life than that. God created us and died for a lot more than just exist. A lot more than just exist. He wants us to have joy. And I know there are times that being joyful can be really hard. There can. I know there's some difficult times. Maybe some of you are going through some difficult times. But we can still have joy through difficulties, because God gave us a comforter. God gave us the Holy Spirit, where we can still have joy no matter what happens. And joy is, there's lots of joy. There's joy can be found in God anywhere. Read verse 11, Psalm 16. I want you to read it with me together. Verse 11, right with me, ready? Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. God has lots of joy he wants to give us. He has tons of joy. I think that's one of the reasons God created us. He had so much joy, he didn't know what to do with it. So he created us to give it to. There's lots of joy in with God. All we need to do is just take it. It's kind of like salvation, kind of. He's not going to give it to us for free. I mean, we're not born with it. But we can take it. There's lots of it. We can just take it anytime we want. And that's one of the things I want you to do through your new year. Just have joy. There's lots of joy with God. Just walk with God, stay at his right hand, and like it says, at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. So that's what I want you to do for this new year. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you that you gave me the strength to do this, Lord, and I pray that the words that have been said tonight, Lord, not only mine, but everyone's words, Lord, that have been said, please help them to have a resounding effect through everyone's life, Lord, and please help them, please help me as well, Lord, as I learn from the things I hear, and help everyone else, Lord, and please bless the rest of this service, Lord, and thank you. In your name I pray, amen.
Good job, Sean. Amen. Joel.
Galatians chapter 5, please. Galatians chapter 5. We're going to read verse 1. I'll give you a second to get there. This year has been awesome. It's been a great year. Went by really fast. It seemed like just yesterday I was up here a year ago. And it's just gone by so fast. But let's read Galatians chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 1. It says, "Stand fast, therefore, in liberty, wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Let's pray. Dear and Father, Lord, I thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you for this year that's gone by so fast, Lord, and all the blessings you've blessed us with, Lord. Just our church, Lord, and how it's grown, God, Lord. I just pray that you be with us in this next coming year, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you be with me tonight, Lord, that just that your presence and power would fall down upon me, Lord. And Lord, that you would use the words that you give me to say, God. And I just pray that you bless us tonight, Lord, in your name, amen. All right, tonight I want to take a few moments and get the thought across of liberty and its requirements. Now, there are certain requirements to liberty. If you want liberty, there are certain things that are required. The first thing I want to show you is that persecution is required to liberty. Now, you may think that's an odd thing, but let's look in the end of this verse. In Galatians chapter 5, and verse 1, it says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." So you see, for liberty, you have to come from some sort of oppression or dominion. We were entangled in the yoke of bondage. Now, let's turn over to Romans chapter 6. And you might actually want to keep your finger in here because we're going to be looking at this a lot tonight. I'm going to read three verses to you. Starting in verse 6, it says, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is free from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him." So the old man is dead. We came from something. We came from an old man, an old sin nature. Our dominion, the persecution that was over us, was the sin nature. And you can look at that politically. Our country, before it was free, before it had liberty, it was persecuted. It was persecuted by an oppressive government, a government with taxation without representation. And for liberty, there had to be persecution. How would you be free if you didn't know what dominion was, or if you didn't know what persecution was? The next thing I want to look at is liberty needs to be purchased. Now let's turn back over to Galatians chapter 5. Keep your finger in Romans chapter 6, though. I'm going to read my text to you one more time. It says, just let me get there. I have a lot of bookmarks because I have a lot of verses. Let's see. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. It says, "Stand therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, Now I'm going to look over in Romans chapter 5 in verse 8 and 9. It says, "But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." So we look and we don't just become free. Like Sean said, we weren't just born with salvation. Someone had to purchase it. And God purchased that, our liberty, our freedom from sin nature on the cross. On the cross, the King of the world, the Creator of all heavens and earth, died for you. What did he die for? He died for your liberty. Let's look at Romans chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. It says, "Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no dominion over him, for in that he died once, he died unto sin, but in that he liveth unto God." So he died unto sin. He died unto what oppressed us. The blood was shed so we could be free. Now you want to look at it through our country. Our country came from oppression. It didn't just one day wake up and we were free. No, it took the blood of patriots to purchase our liberty. And it took the blood of God, the blood of the perfect lamb, to purchase your liberty, to purchase my liberty. And the last thing I want to show you is liberty needs to be preserved. Turn back over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, it says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free." Stand. You want to preserve your liberty? How about you stand for it? You stand up and you fight for what you know is right. Let's turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. It says, "For now we live if we stand fast in the Lord." Now you want to stay free? You want to stay with the liberties? You want to stay free from that yoke of bondage that you were placed in? Stand fast in the Lord. Stand fast in the cross. Don't get too far advanced where you forget the cross. Don't forget that God died for you. Don't forget that God rose for you. Don't forget that God loves you. Now let's look over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15, it says, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or epistle." Now, you can look at that and it says, stand fast in the traditions you've been taught, in word and in epistle, in preaching, in your words, in stuff that's been said to you. You've been taught in Sunday school or you've been taught in church to stand and stand for what's right, to do what's right, to live by the Bible or in our epistle, these epistles that Paul wrote. You want to stand in liberty? No one talks more about liberty than Paul himself. He talks about grace, how God died and suffered and to give you grace, to give you love, so you could live free. Now, remember the requirements to live freely and live for liberty. There was persecution, that's past. It was purchased, that's past. God did it all by himself. Now, what you need to do is you need to preserve it. You need to pass it along to generations following you so your children can stand in the traditions that you have taught them and that have been taught to you. And so the persecution's over with. The purchasing is over with. Now the preserving. It's time to preserve the liberties we have. Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, I thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you for everything you've given us, Lord. Lord, I pray that you give us a great year this year, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that we stand for what we know is right, and we stand in you, Lord, and just stay close to you, Lord. In your name, amen.
Amen. That's good. That's good. They all did a fabulous, fabulous job. I was thinking about my first time that I preached, you know, and I know the things that they were feeling, I'm sure. But you watch these guys, you know, each and every year. You'll see them get clearer. You'll see them get more eloquent. You'll see them get more confident. Always relying on the Lord, but you do, after you do this a while, you do begin to get a little bit more confident here and there. And it's awesome because a few of these fellows, they preached last year as well. And I saw them take big steps, you know, in this year. And so it's just awesome to see that. And church, we need to be praying for these young people. I've kind of geared, of course, this whole service tonight. I'm going to close in just a moment. But with me preaching, that is, okay? Don't think, oh, we're going to be done, you know? No. I got a few things I want to say. But I'm just very, very thrilled to be a part of a church that invests in young people. And they kind of took the whole service tonight, and I'm excited about that. You know, I wish I had had the same excitement and zeal that I see some of these younger ones had when I was their age. I'll admit, went to church, different things like that, but I wish I had that same kind of excitement that I see these young people have now when I was their age. I don't know if that came out clear, but I'm just glad that we're a part of this, and I hope you are as well. We'll say this theme, 2010, we had a theme course this last year, the 2009, the year of the harvest, and we had a wonderful year, and we'll talk more about that, I think, maybe Sunday and so forth. But we will be having a new theme this year, 2010, and it's based out of 1 Corinthians 9:24, and it's so run that she may obtain. It's going to be kind of a sports theme, but I'm not going to get into it. It's not my message tonight, but we all have a race to run. Brother Andrew preached a little bit about that a few moments ago. We have a race to run, and we must not quit. We must keep on fighting. We must stand fast, to kind of reiterate a little bit what we've heard already. And so that is our theme for this year, and I just want you to be faithful, church. I want you to hang on tight. It feels like, man, the year went by fast. You know why? Because it did. We did a lot. We saw a lot. We've seen a lot of things, great things happen, and I'm looking forward to a better year and so forth. If you take your Bibles, I'm going to just turn to one verse, Psalm 37, verse 23, a very familiar verse. Don't have a whole lot of notes, so that might be either good or bad. I don't know. I mean, if I looked at my notes, if you saw my notes, you'd think, what is it? I'm beginning to wonder, what did I put down? But anyways, I just want to, I guess, just try to convey a thought here tonight. And Psalm 37, verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Notice it does not say leaps or jumps. It says steps. Sometimes we get kind of confused. I'm going to walk around a little bit because I got to walk off my supper, so I guess I got the red mic here a little bit. But sometimes, if we're not careful, we'll get impatient and we want to go ahead. And in this Christian life, in this race that we run, we kind of want to get ahead of things and get further ahead quicker. And that's not a bad thing. It's good to have a desire to go ahead and reach your goal, and boy, this time of year where we think about goals and setting goals and resolutions, if you will, as we kind of talked about with a skit there. But the truth is, it's not a bad thing, but the Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Now, I don't know, I wish I could go ahead and as your pastor, I don't know what you're going to face this year. I don't know what kind of steps that you may be going ahead and stepping into or trotting this year. I wish I could. I wish I could tell you what kind of things you're going to face. I wish I knew sometimes some of the things that I'm going to face this coming year. But we don't know that. But we have the surety in knowing that the steps of a good man, that's a righteous man, that'd be a saved man, are ordered by the Lord. That word ordered means ordained or prepared. They've already been established. They've already been prepared. You know, God desires us to grow. He doesn't want us to stagnate. Every single one of us, let me just say this, doesn't matter who we are under the sound of my voice this evening, we ought to be closer to God next December 31st than we are right now. We ought to be growing. We ought to be stepping forward. We ought to be, I love the song, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. We ought to be pressing to new heights. We ought to be stepping forward. Yeah, once in a while in this journey of life, in this race of life, the devil will get up. He'll kind of push you around, and he may push you back a couple steps. But don't you just stay there. A just man falls seven times, and guess what? He doesn't stay there. He riseth up again. He brushes himself off. And you know what? I wish I could predict to you, church. I wish I could predict to you, mama. I wish I could predict to you, daddy. I wish I could predict to you, grandma, grandpa, aunt, uncle, child, teenager, some of the things that you're going to face this year. Some of the things may be bad things, tough things. It may be illness. It may be financial struggles. It may be a pink slip in your mailbox. I don't know. I don't wish that upon you. I wish we could go ahead and prepare accordingly for that. But let me tell you something. The steps of a good man, if you're serving God and if you're being faithful and you're doing what God wants you to do, it doesn't matter what kind of wind blows your way. It doesn't matter what comes along your path. You can know that God has ordained it and He's established it. In other words, you know, God will take care of you. God knows right exactly the steps that you take tomorrow on January 1st, 2010. He knows the steps you're going to take. It may be a great step for you. It may not be such a great step for you as you think. But you know, as the Bible says and the Bible promises, and we got the preserved word of God right here, you know that every step that you take this year are established by God. It may be health problems. It may be wealth problems. It may be whatever, but you can have the surety in knowing that God's right there with you. He's prepared it. We don't always understand it. We don't always understand why the bad steps that we look, I'm talking from a human standpoint, we may look at health. We may look and say, boy, that's a bad step. I wish I didn't have to, I didn't take that step. That you can know that no matter what it is, whatever heartache, whatever trial, whatever temptation, whatever woe comes your way, listen to me, church, God has prepared it. And He's planned it. He's established it. But guess what? Even though it may be a tough step for you, He says in Hebrews 13:5, I'll never leave you, forsake you. He's right there with you all the way. He will not go ahead and leave you. He will not go ahead and forsake you. But you can know that He's with you every step of the way. Maybe some of the steps are good. Listen to me now. Maybe some of the steps will be good steps. And we all will. Listen. You know, it isn't all bad. Yeah, we'll have the struggles, but we'll see the victories as well. You keep on being faithful. You keep on stepping forward. When the battles come, here's what you do not do. Don't say, well, I'm done. I'm done with this. I'm done with church. I'm done with reading my Bible. You know what? We have a tendency to go ahead and leave the very things that's going to go ahead and help us get through them hard steps. You know, and by the way, God already said, you know what, I prepared it, and I planned it, I ordained it, and it might be that you're in some of them rough steps simply because maybe some poor decision-making on our end. Okay, it might be that we're in some of these positions simply because there's something that God wants us to learn. You know, I've said how many times behind this pulpit, you ought to let a battle, boy, I can't word it the way I've always worded it, list left me, but you ought to learn from your battle. You ought to allow that battle, that struggle that you go with, to go ahead and help somebody else. It might be some of the steps, the rough steps that you may have, this year to come. It might be that He's trying to go ahead and strengthen you in His word, strengthen you in the Christian life. And it might be that He's trying to teach you something so that you can teach somebody else. You know, I think of Paul and Timothy. Timothy being as a son, almost like a son to Paul. And he goes ahead and he says, you know, Paul went through many, many different things. And I can't, in 2 Timothy there, he says, be a good soldier to Timothy. Fight a good fight. You keep on going on. You're going to have to endure hardness. You're going to go through struggles. You're going to go through heartaches. But in essence, what Paul was saying to Timothy, but don't you quit. Don't you quit. Because you know the truth of the matter is you go ahead and quit, someone behind you will probably go ahead and quit. Someone's looking up to you, Timothy. Hey, what I'm trying to say here tonight, hey, you know what? We need to endure some hardness, church. We need to endure some struggles. You may, and I hope you don't go through any tough times, but you may go through some tough times this year. But what I'm trying to say, you just keep on stepping forward. You know that God established it. You know that God's going to be with you. And don't you quit, because as sure as you step out, I promise you, it will affect somebody. It will affect somebody. You know what motivates me? I tell you, you know, what motivates me to try to do right and keep doing right and keep going, even when I'm in the valley, or it doesn't matter what position, what motivates me to want to keep doing right is I feel like that if I step out, it's probably gonna affect my family. It might affect someone in my family. It probably may go ahead and affect somebody. I'm not saying the church as a whole, because if for some reason I stepped out and I'm not okay, all right? But if some reason I stepped out and so forth and so on, you know what? The church will keep on going. It's going to keep on weathering the storm, if you will. But the truth, man, you know why I want to keep on doing right? You know why I want to keep on pressing on? You know why I want to keep on serving? You know why I want to keep on reading my Bible? You know why I want to keep on soul winning? You know why I want to keep on preaching? You know I want to keep on going on? It's because there's somebody that I know is watching me. I got a family to lead. I got children to lead. And I feel like if I go ahead and step out, it will go ahead and mess them up too. And the truth of the matter is, it may not just affect them, but I know it may affect somebody in this church. By the way, same with you. See, well, preacher, you know, you're the leader. No. Same with you. You know, if somebody's watching you, you know, it doesn't matter. These youngins here, leaders tonight, moms and dads, you know, they're watching you. They're watching you. They're watching the steps that you take. They're watching the steps that have been ordered by the Lord. Hey, you know, I'm so far off in my notes, but listen to me. You know what? I wish I could predict some of the things that you're going to face this year. I can't. But I do know this. Whatever steps that you've trod this year, you could know that God's with you, and he's established them. He's prepared them. They've been ordered by the Lord. And, you know, very interesting, and I got thinking about this a little bit. I have preached for that first part of that verse several different times over the years. But, you know, sometimes we kind of stop here, and he delighteth in his way. You know, that just tells me that no matter what position I'm in, whether I'm in the valley or in the mountaintop, as long as, I like the thought anyways, as long as I am faithful, as long as I keep on being faithful, no matter what kind of step it is that the Lord's prepared me for, he'll give me the joy. He'll give me the peace. He'll give me the favor. You know, the Bible says he delighteth in his way. I just happen to believe that, you know what, if I just keep on going, irregardless, it may be a great day, it may not be so, but I just keep on going. I just happen to believe that if I go ahead and stay faithful, God's going to go ahead because the Lord is with me. And who is, what does the fruit of the Spirit do? Love, joy, peace, all of that, all the fruits there. And you know what? If I go ahead and I follow the steps of the Lord and keep on following the steps that he has prepared for me, I just happen to believe that I'm going to be joyous. I'm going to be happy. No, I will not always be happy about the circumstances. But I know that in the end, I know that each and every day that I do get up, boy, you know, the Lord is right there. And what's going to give you the peace that passes all understanding? That's Jesus Christ. You know, I don't know what's going to come down your path this year. I don't know what's going to come down my path. But I know this, whether it's a low path, a valley, it will all have them. You just keep on going because then you get to the mountaintop. But you just keep on trotting along. You can have joy in knowing that every step that you take, the Lord's with you. I don't know about you, but that gives me peace. That gives me happiness. That gives me an excitement to keep on going. You know, I don't know what'll come along our way for our church. I was talking to my preacher this week. He asked me, how things are going? I said, things are good. I said, preacher, to be honest with you, I said, things are surprisingly good. He didn't know what I meant by that. I said, I am just amazed. I just told him, I'm amazed at what God has done. And, you know, telling him, I said, you know, and I've been in the ministry long enough. I've watched the ministry here at Calvary. That's where I was, and for the weekend here and different things. And we've had the lows, we've had the highs, we've had it all. But I said, every step of the way, God has been so faithful. I said, preacher, I said, it was amazing. I don't know what the Lord's going to do this year, but we've seen kids galore coming in. We've started a new bus route. We've got these Sunday school classes. Of course, we've got Patch. We've got teen youth group and teenagers out soul winning. We've got different music singers and Patch kids singing. We got all kinds of different things going on. But you know what? It doesn't matter what, you know what? And by the way, we will have some bumps. We'll have some high mountaintops. We'll have a few little valleys. But you know what? It doesn't matter. Just like I know in my life that every step is ordered by the Lord. You know what? Every step of this church is ordered by the Lord as well. I'm excited about 2010. I'm excited about running the race. That's the theme this year. You know, for some of us, we ought to thank God that it's not literally out there running a, you know what I mean? Though I could use it, all right? But the truth of the matter is we all have a race to run. And sometimes the steps that we take, they won't always be easy. There'll be anxiety. There'll be different emotions that you go through. There'll be anxiety. There'll be excitement. There'll be super excitement if there's such a thing. There'll be apprehension. There'll be, ooh, you know. But you know what? Whether it's our life or the life of our church, God's in control. This year, listen to me. I wish, man, you know, probably I don't wish. You know, I said it a few different times here in this message. I wish I could predict everything for us. I just got thinking about probably I'm glad that we don't know. Probably not a bad thing that we don't know. But the truth of the matter is, you know what? Let's just trust the Lord this year. Just keep on. Keep on going. You know, you'll get discouraged for whatever reason. You just keep on going. You'll have little obstacles. You'll have little bumps. You'll have different things. You just keep on going. You might get knocked down a few times, but you just get back up and just brush yourself off and you just keep on going. Because the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. The steps, no matter what step it is, God will give you the joy that you need. God will give you the peace that you need. God will give you favor. God will give you what you need to go ahead and be sustained through whatever it is that you're going to go through. I just love the fact that even though he's established the steps, even though some of them steps may be painful, he's with you every step of the way, though. You know what? What a great God we serve. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. We heard I appreciate the boys preaching tonight. I appreciate the special from Brittany. I appreciate these young people. Maybe through one of the messages or maybe all of the messages as a whole, the Lord, Holy Spirit, spoke to your heart this evening. And we're going to have an invitation, but maybe God spoke to your heart. I'm going to encourage you in just a moment. If God has spoke to your heart, maybe you just need to come forward about something. Maybe you just want to pray. Maybe there's just some things that you just want to lay out at the altar tonight as you begin a new year. I don't know what it is. Maybe them steps that you've been taking, maybe you've been in a series of a lot of painful steps and you just don't see God in it, but he is in it. But you just don't see him in it. You just need to reach out and get a hold of the Lord tonight. I don't know. I'm going to encourage you tonight, church, if you need to go ahead and do business tonight, won't you do business? Our Heavenly Father,
I love you. I love this church. I love these people. I thank you for this church. I thank you for all that you've done. What a wonderful 2009 that we've had. Looking forward to 2010. I'm excited about 2010. I pray, dear God, that we'll just be united, that we'll be excited together and just desire to win this area to the Lord, for Christ, Lord. And just pray, God, that you just use us. Pray that our church will be moldable. Pray, God, that as we go through the many different steps together this year, that we'll continue to be faithful. When we go through some tough steps, that we'll realize you're still there, even though you established it. For whatever reason, I just pray, dear God, that we'll just keep on trodden, taking one day at a time, stepping forward, not stepping back, not getting apprehensive about your will and your plan, but we'll just stay faithful. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, let's stand to our feet. Maybe God spoke to your heart this evening. If he has, we'll have a short invitation. We'll take it, or we'll take the time that we need to take. I'm not going to rush anybody. But if God spoke to your heart tonight in some way or some fashion, I urge you, step out. Don't just don't sit there and say, I'll deal with it later. No, why don't you just come to an old-fashioned altar and lay it out and do business with God. The pianist is going to play, All to Jesus I Surrender. Go ahead. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence, daily live.
Amen. That was good. Fellas, I want you to know you did a great job. Thank you for the messages. Give him another hand. That was good. Good. I was reminded that we need to take up an offering, so be seated. Be seated. If you can go ahead and give tonight, we'll go ahead and take up an offering at this time. And Rick, you can just pick out anything for whatever, for an offertory. And maybe we can get, someone to go back. Oh, Daniel will go back and he'll help with the offering. And that'll be great. Why don't we pray now for our offering? Heavenly Father, we love you. We do thank you for tonight. We thank you again for this church. Thank you for 2010 to come. Just a few short hours. Here we are. We'll be entering a new year. I pray, God, that you give us health. I pray, God, you'll even take care of our needs as you always do. I pray, God, that you just continue to bless. Bless our families. Bless our children, our teenagers. Bless our church. Now, Lord, as we take up an offering, I pray, God, that you bless the gift and the giver now in Jesus' name. Amen. A few short minutes. I know maybe some of you are thinking, okay, what about the sweets? The sweets are waiting for us downstairs. There's cake and there's coffee and there's other stuff down there. So I'm going to ask you, boy, stick around. If you want more food, whatever's left, man, we'd hate to have anything be left over. And so I'd encourage you, if you can, stay around and and so forth, okay? But why don't we close with this song we normally do on Sunday nights, hymn number 300. We'll sing just the first verse. Why not just the first verse of Take the Name of Jesus With You, and then we'll go ahead and be dismissed for dessert if you have not received any already, and we'll have some dessert here. Oh, I don't know. I know I didn't plan it. I know I maybe should have. If we can't, that's all right, Brother Rick. If you don't know it, that's all right. I didn't put it on. It was a last-minute thought on my end, but that's okay. That's all right. Don't worry about it. You know what? They didn't want to sing anyways. It's all right. We'll go ahead and go to dessert. So why don't we'll just close in prayer here, and then we'll go to dessert. Heavenly Father, we love you. We do thank you again for tonight, Lord. I pray, God, that you'd bless the fellowship here later on. God, I pray that you would just continue to bless our church now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.